So, Charlie Thomas, how long have you and I known each other? And there's a method to that question, for starters.
All right, it's over 20 years for sure, 20-something years.
Because you were at 98 Rock and I was at the Eagle when, dun-dun-dun, there was a duopoly, two stations owned by the same company, and it was a huge story.
That's right. You moved into the building here, the inner compound, as I like to call it. And about 97 it was.
Yes.
So it must be that was the time. Yeah.
So how, dear friend, is it that we've known each other that long and I have 3 pages of information that I did not know about you. So I guarantee the listeners, not guarantee, I imagine listeners to this podcast did not know, for example, that you went to Princeton? What the hell?
That was my...
How do I not know that?
Ivy-covered walls days.
Yeah, you got a Princeton degree in radio? Probably not.
Well, there was a radio station there, but I never got involved with it. I listened to it, the local station. And I got an engineering degree. I'm a nerd. You know,
slow down. Engineering, mathematics.
That's right. I'm very much into math and science, and I still follow that.
What the hell?
Yeah, sure. And it's helped me with audio, too. It helped me in the technological side of audio, like making the transition into digital audio. So I taught myself audio, and I think it helps to know some of those terms, you know, what it does. What does it mean when I EQ this? And
You're being way too modest. A chemical engineer with Chevron?
Yeah, I worked there for 3 years
that.
down in L.A., and I just didn't enjoy it. So I wanted to do something that would be more of a risk, and I had always been into audio. I played guitar as a kid, always been into music. I got a tape recorder when I was about 12 years old. I was fascinated with audio and just recording sound. So I thought, why not? Let's give radio a try.
So is the stereotype, and I mean this in the kindest way, of the nerds, the Apple nerds, the people who are really into technology, are they pretty on point? From one nerd?
Yes. I mean, there's some interesting people. I mean, certainly I saw that at Princeton as well. Yeah.
And you're not from California. You're from...
Grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. Although Memphis and Sacramento are remarkably similar in that they're river towns, farming communities, big, small towns, pyramids on the skyline, for God's sake. You know,
remarkable. So you have could your accent come back if you needed it to?
Yeah, especially if I talk to the folks back home. My mom, she came out to Sacramento and said, well, sugar, this sort of looks like Memphis. Look at the azaleas over here and the magnolia trees. This is a lot like Memphis.
How long have you been in California now?
I moved to California coast to coast in 78 and here in Sacramento since 84. Now, as a side note, I got started in radio as a full-time job working in Paradise.
I wanted to talk to you about that. So that was at the Chico radio station?
It was in Paradise.
It was in Paradise?
On the Skyway in Paradise above Joe's Colonial Motel, the ice cream shop there. Just a closet of a studio, but I have a real affection for that town, and it feels like some of the pages of the scrapbook of my life have been singed by that fire.
Have you been back since the...
I have not. I plan to do so here in the near future, and we certainly have a couple of benefits planned as well to help out. Because I do feel for that. I have some friends living in the area.
You
and
do.
It's dire still. Yeah.
And that's a concern. We've talked about this before. The news cycle in another 4 or 5 months or even sooner, some other catastrophe sadly will happen, and those people will still be homeless and in dire straits, but the spotlight will have been taken off of them. So you're right. We need to remember them.
Exactly.
Let's go back to Memphis. All this stuff in the last 3 days, I pestered and poked some of our colleagues. Your dad hung out and had...
He knew Elvis. He knew Elvis from the time they were in junior high. And they say, well, he kind of dressed funny, but then we saw him at a high school talent show. Woo! So they knew there was something special there.
So talk more about that.
I never met him personally, though. I never met Elvis. My dad was friends with him, though. I knew the Memphis Mafia, too. And I think my dad's been referenced to in a couple of books about Elvis, too.
Really?
So, yeah.
Your dad was in law enforcement?
Yes.
In Memphis?
Yeah, he was a cop there. And Elvis had such a fascination with law enforcement and guns. So sometimes he would go up to the police station. My dad, so Charlie, I want to hang out here at the police station for a while.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously, yeah.
And so they were friends from the time that they were little, and they stayed friends throughout his life?
Well, not in the most famous phase.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't like they were close buddies, but they weren't in first name basis.
But he would swing by the police station and hang out with guns.
Hang out there, yeah.
Why not? the character that the movie A Beautiful Mind was written about was one of your colleagues at Princeton?
Well, yeah, John Nash. He would wander the math halls, and again, I had some pretty esoteric mathematics at the time. Although it does relate to to audio specifically. They're, oh, when am I ever going to use algebra? Well, I use algebra every day. When am I going to use trigonometry? Well, you really use trigonometry every day, and much less, you know, vector calculus. But so, yeah, he was in sort of his schizophrenia mode at that point. Oh. But you would see him wandering around, and I can remember being in a classroom with just him in there, sort of scribbling away on a chalkboard, and I'm waiting for my next class, and just looking at this and talking with him. He really would. He was not social. You know, John Nash mm-hmm. was not. But mm-hmm. And it's strange to have seen the movie come about and then you know, get such accolades. A little later. Why didn't I make that movie?
Stop. You have a very beautiful mind also. Here I go. Because oftentimes you're either left or right brained. And I'm on the creative side. I have a daughter who loves math. And I always, how did you come out of my uterus? And she'll say, Mom, I love math. It's either right or it's wrong. You know, she loves her numbers. But you obviously with this job, it you know, demands creativity. But you've got the math side. So you have a very well-rounded brain.
Math also relates to music. There are a lot of things about octaves being, you know, double the wavelength, for example. And, you know, but there's symbology in mathematics and music. You know, musical notation, mathematical.
Mm-hmm. It's like another language.
It really is, and I think if you appreciate those two can go hand in hand. And music is certainly a creative. It's a vibrant part of my life too. Not only the classic rock we serve up on a daily basis that yes I do listen to, but I like new music as well. I'll listen, or even some sort of new age music like what Craig Chiquiso does.
Yeah. This is a very humble group around here. Some of the jam sessions that have happened just for fun with Charlie and Justin Case and who else in the building from the other stations.
Oh, Whitey Gleason.
Whitey Gleason, yeah, Pat Martin.
Yeah.
There's just sort of we'll pick up their...
Well, radio, you know, we're sort of frustrated musicians anyway in one way or another, you know, so I can't really play. Well, I could play.
Yeah, you
I was
can.
Never, I was never going to be an Eddie Van Halen, though, so it's like I'm talking and watching musicians and play that remarkable. And just being part of it. Yeah.
Again, stuff that I was just thrown at in the halls of this building. You lived with your sister, and the person who gave me this information couldn't remember the name, but your sister was hit on by a star, and that star contacted you to create the hit.
Well, when I moved to L.A., I was living in Manhattan Beach. I don't really miss L.A., but I miss the beach down there and just hanging out and body surfing. And she moved in with me down to that time and was hanging in Hollywood, very attractive young lady. So we would go to tapings of Mork and Mindy and Happy Days and Taxi. And so the staff of Taxi was Andy Kaufman. And she had filmed a scene as an extra with Andy Kaufman and Marty Feldman. And so Andy Kaufman is calling me up in the apartment looking for my sister.
Latka Gravis?
What?
How did he get your number?
Well, from her, but it's like,
oh,
yeah. So
gosh.
She was living with me, but it's, yeah. That's back in the days, we didn't have our individual cell phones.
Right,
scan, if you remember.
Right. There's no texting. So did she go on the date?
No, she did not.
Probably better, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah. He was a little bit strange.
Yeah, that's an understatement. What else do I know about Charlie Thomas? Talk about your fantasy radio camp that you do.
Love that feature.
So for people who might not know what it is, I just found out that you have a waiting list of, I mean, you have like 2,000 people.
Hundreds and hundreds, yeah. I mean, it is a couple of thousand people who've
seen it. Yeah, I had a client say, you know, could I get in? And I didn't know the venue. And our Brian Lopez, who runs the station, said, that person needs to get in line. There's a crap load of people.
And we don't necessarily do it chronologically, but mm-hmm. there is a lot of interest in this. And I love it. I mean, I've had a couple of hundred people come in already. Mm-hmm. And I don't want somebody, well, I used to be on the radio back in Toledo. I want somebody who hasn't been on at all. And, mm-hmm. and for many people, it's a bucket list idea to put together a playlist. And we'll play most of the songs they want, as long as it's not too obscure.
And this is so easy for you and me, but for some people who want to come in and be on the radio for their first time, I've seen you in this room that we're talking in right now, and I've often wondered, how do you get them comfortable? How do you talk them off the ledge and into a conversational place? Because that's not so easy for everybody.
Maybe I got some of that from my dad, the cop, who knew how to interrogate people without them realizing they were being interrogated.
There you go. And let's Elvis play with guns, but not in an unsafe way. Not in an unsafe way.
It is, and I think generally people do have fun in here. And if you are interested in the Radio Fantasy Camp, go ahead. Don't think, oh, I'm too shy for that. Mm-mm. Or I hear the musicians. I have to be. No, just we're making rock stars out of people in the community who are rock stars. Get on the radio.
And Charlie's very user friendly.
That's right.
You have not. So there's. Let's talk about the music world. Give me your list, your boom, boom, boom list of some of the people that you've interviewed. But also, again, I come to find out from these hallways, boy, they can talk. Some of the groups that you just sort of hung out with through the years. That not interview, just sort of...
Well, certainly Tesla is a local favorite. To have seen them from the early days and have grown up with them and have been in one of their music videos back in the day The Way It Is. And they just show me over the shoulder. It's like, hey, there's me on MTV. And it was great because we actually raised 3 tons of food for the Sacramento Food Bank in that video, too. So I love the community aspect of radio. My favorite interview over the years, though, was Bill Graham, a guy who's not a musician but played such an important role in the evolution of concerts in the United States and certainly for Northern California. Mm-hmm. Now, I got here after the infamous or notorious and famous Day on the Green shows.
Oh.
But I never got to hit
I have brain
that.
Cells all over the field over there in Oakland from those times. But go on.
So just such a fascinating guy. And I'm amazed we haven't seen a movie about the story of his life, you know, getting out of communist Germany and then coming here and, you know, making his way and then changing the concert scene. So certainly Bill Graham was memorable.
I remember pulling up to the Shoreline Amphitheater, and there was a spot for him in his cool little maybe MG car. Mm-hmm. He would just pull up like some regular dude to shows at the Shoreline, and you'd go, well, that is obviously him because of how he looked.
And one of his secrets was to pair up, or not so secret, was to pair up a well-known band with another artist from another genre to expose music to a segment of the crowd who may not have seen it before.
Love it.
And that's sort of how I approach music, too. I'm open to a lot of different styles. I really do enjoy a lot of different types of music.
Artists that you were most impressed by, in other words, you thought they were maybe going to be kind of a jerk and turn out to be a surprisingly pleasant person. Offhand?
You know, some people have an incredible karma or charisma about them, like Sammy Hagar, who you've talked with over the years, too. Sammy just has his amazing karma about him and just appeal, magnetism.
Yes. Anybody still on your bucket list?
I talked with Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, and he was sort of that's when it was sort of like, oh, you didn't have to be so snotty about that.
Come on.
It's Iron Maiden, dude.
Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about your passions. Your horses, dogs?
Well, animals, certainly. Animals. And my wife is part of that. She's avidly into the horse world. She's Tamara with a camera.
So isn't that the best? Tamara with a camera. She's an amazing photographer.
Yeah, so she's got magazine covers for Arabian Horse World and these types of things.
Great.
So some great shots. And I think she has, at this count, 8 horses. So I sort of own 8 horses. I lose track of them.
You sort of own them? Where do you keep them?
I call it a sisterhood of the traveling ponies.
Oh,
so she has some women, a network of horse friends up and down the valley. There's one in Reading that has some land, and they breed horses. Sometimes she'll save them, and we've done that as well. I mean, we'll rescue a horse. It's not about making money always. It's like, let's find a good home for this horse.
Do you ride?
It's been many years, and I don't even know how. I can tell you what a canter pirouette is, but I can't put a saddle on a horse.
I picture a horse and a tutu twirling around.
It's a dance, or a dressage dance. And there's so many great equestrian facilities around the area besides Rancho Murrieta and Starvon Equestrian. And so I'll go to a horse show a couple of times a year
when she's out,
you know, a lot. And drink some wine. That's one of my passions as well, as you know, is going to the wine country.
Yes, and this has turned into such a place. It was always Napa, Napa, Napa. Now it's El Dorado, and it's Lodi.
And Amador County.
I go to all of those.
The Auburn Wine Trail is great, but Amador County is my favorite, I will have to say. And I've gotten to know a lot of those folks up there, and that has a special place in my heart, too. And
what's your go-to?
And my stomach, too.
What's your go-to with, say, like a piece of dark chocolate?
I love the Barberas up there and a good zesty Zen, too.
Yeah. Zesty Zen, you say?
Yeah.
And, of course, your dogs. I haven't talked to you in a while, but you had these Akitas, which are such loyal animals to their humans and not to a whole lot of other people. So they have kind of an interesting personality.
He was definitely loyal to it. Don't have the Akitas anymore. I had one for 10 years or 11 years and one for 9 years at Rocco. And they're amazing, big bad wolves that I had.
Yes.
They protected the household. Right now, we rescued 2 cats that have been abandoned in the neighborhood about 2 years ago.
So wait, you're dogless?
Yeah, I'm dogless now. I just got the 2 cats inside, and there's a colony of feral cats that somehow appeared in the neighborhood. So I got them one by one, had to trap them, take them to Placer SPCA,
yes,
and get them fixed. And so they're now all fixed, and they're free to roam my
in
yard, and we'll throw out food for them, even though they're not going to let us touch them.
And a four-legged something-something in the dog world didn't follow you home from the Placer SPCA?
One of these days. I mean, yes, probably do for it. I'd love the folks at Placer SPCA.
Leilani Freitas is one of our favorite people. We are all foodies here. Some of your go-to genres of food, please.
Italian, I'd have to say. And my wife makes some great Italian food. And biscotti. You didn't get the homemade biscotti?
I did not.
Oh, well, I'll try to get
it's
some.
Okay.
To, oh, yeah. But I like a lot. I'll experiment, too. And I certainly like Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
And Mexican. You've got so many great places around here to have a good burrito or chimichanga. Yeah.
So Tamara cooks. What about you?
I'll grill in the
He's
in the summertime.
Griller.
Yeah, three times a week I'm out grilling. And
nice.
Maybe a little glass of wine out there, too.
Charlie has this great mind for... ideas when we're looking for a title for something or we're looking for a tagline. Go ask Charlie, and Charlie will say, you know what? Let me get back to you. Let me think about it. And then he'll come up to you in the hallway and just, whatever it is. How about this? Bingo. Where does that come from?
I like playing with words.
Uh-huh.
A cunning linguist. I like
as
the,
it were.
The idea. Yeah. So just... a combination of words. I think to tell stories, I like to be concise and precise. So if you expand your vocabulary, you can be sharper in your storytelling.
I love that. What an answer. What was I going to say? And your puns. The puns. And we still all crack ourselves up, but there'll be a jock meeting once a week, and a pun will come up, which is so corny, and everybody laughs. And that's you, again, and your love of words?
Well, of course, we're all trying to outdo each other.
Yes.
In these jock meetings. You get radio people together. Hey, how about this one? Yeah. But again, it's just fun with wordplay. Yeah.
Are you a reader?
Absolutely. Although I don't read much nonfiction or much fiction anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of the nonfiction now appears to be fiction in our world, but it's, so I'm not reading a lot of fiction these days.
What about nonfiction? What kind of biographies, autobiographies?
A lot of rock biographies. I'm about to settle in with the Keith Richards one. I read the Clapton biography. So a lot of rock biographies and sometimes just articles online. It's like my first job as a kid was working in a library. And so I would just file a book and then read about 10 pages of another. And with the internet, you could just do that all day.
Exactly. Okay, good enough. The Cliff's Notes, as it were. Cliff's Notes, anybody out there?
Yeah.
Right. What about things you still want to do in life? What's on your bucket list that still needs to happen? Travel much?
I've traveled some, but I'd like to travel to Italy. I haven't done that. So I think some of that is on the horizon for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about people who are interested in radio? I think we forget what a cool place this is until we've got people like that come in.
The Radio Fantasy Camp rejuvenates me every week. It reminds me what a magical thing the radio is to be sitting here in our little box and to be, talking with so many people in it. It's not fans, it's friends, really, that you're sort of just having a one-way conversation with. I picture myself in a passenger seat of a car. It's like, oh, have you heard this? That's my approach to it.
It's very different in here than in front of a crowd. I'm fine here, but there have been times in front of, I don't know, a silly number of people, like 300 or 400, where I go, how about you? Is that with you?
You do. You have to get your game face on. I like to be able to have an idea what I'm going to talk about, and I'll pre-plan it and then go out, again, concise, precise, room to improvise. So, you know.
Charlie.
Got a lot of mantras. Another one is one-on-one with 100,000. And I think that's a really critical part of radio, is that you're only talking to one person, but hopefully there's thousands out there actually listening, or at least tuning in.
Love that. And then there's the voices that you.
Yeah, I've been doing that since I was a kid, and my mom just would laugh because I would mimic the voices on the television, and I can't do do John Wayne. It's not that. It's more of a character types.
Go give me one. What's one of your favorites?
It's easy to get into an English accent, especially when I was in London. Now you're putting me on the spot.
We've skied together. My hubby and you have golfed together. Still two of your favorite to-dos?
Yeah. Now, skiing a little less so over the years. It's been a couple of years. It's just more of that risk-reward factor and the energy involved.
It
it's
hurts.
Like, okay, I got to the top of the mountain. I'm wiped out.
I'm so tired.
Just kidding. But I love it. And I've spent many, many days. I know you have your second home, essentially,
yes,
in the Sierra.
Yes.
And so many great resorts. I mean, Kirkwood is Sugar Bowl. And North Star I even enjoy.
Yeah, so, yeah. And still golf?
Yeah, what a frustrating
I don't understand.
Game.
Right?
Let's do it again.
Totally. How was your game? It sucked. I'm golfing tomorrow.
Exactly.
Why?
Well, it is a Zen test for me, and I need that. And it's a walk in the park. There are some great golf courses around here. And the Morton family at Hagen Oaks do a great job with the community as well. At Teal Bend, I know the Grass Whisperer out there, the course superintendent. You got the Ridge in Auburn, Sean, and those guys. Yeah. So some great courses all around.
Big, broad question. What are you most proud of in this fabulous life of yours to date?
I would like to think that we make a difference in the community and things like, in a big sense, when we did our telethons for the UC Davis Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, you are really an important part of that. But so we did our part there, I think, helping the Placer SPCA, helping the Domestic Violence Intervention Center, the Community for Peace and Women's Shelter in Citrus Heights, something we got involved in. So some of the things we're able to accomplish in the community.
So, like, it's if you inform someone, if you entertain someone, if you learn something, that's a pretty good day, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty good day. The podcast is called NorCal Names. You came here and you stayed, and it doesn't look like you're going anywhere else. What do you love about this area?
I moved down from Chico in 84, and I thought, well, this will be my stopping point on the way to the big city. Mr. Big City DJ, as Mark and Brian used
there
to
it
say.
Is. There it's a voice. Yeah.
So, and I got here, and after a while, I realized this is my home. So my house in Citrus Heights, I've been there for 30 years now, and it's just a great place to live. Certainly, it's close to a lot of things, but it's a growing city. I think in the last couple of years, Sacramento has a dynamic to it that's it's attractive.
So as we close, 20 years and I didn't know all that stuff. What's one more fun fact about you that most listeners probably don't know and I don't know? What else?
I've revealed it all. There's no more to see.
He's an open book. Put your clothes back on. Thanks, Charlie.